It's time for us to have our study on Romans for the Wednesday evening class. And as we study through it, we're on chapter 11. So we will begin our study there with verse 1 when we read. So if you'd open your Bibles there to Romans 11, verse 1. Before that, let's have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we're always thankful for the many blessings you give us. We pray for those of our number that are the elderly. We pray for those that are pregnant at this time. We pray for them to be careful and watch. We pray for our brother Robert and sister Courtney at this time. Especially we pray that something can be said and done that will change her forever way. We pray for each one that's in need of our prayers. As we go through this study of Romans, we pray that it might be much beneficial for each of us. I know it has been for me, and I'm sure it has been for Matt. So as we go through the study, as always, we're most thankful for Jesus, and this is our prayer in his name. Amen. A good study today, as we go through our study of Romans 11, we'll see that Paul's doing something just a little different. He likes to ask a short question, and then he answers it. And I think it's a really good way for the study that we're going to have. So bear with me as we read some verses of Scripture, and then we will talk about them. Chapter 11, verse 1, it says, I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know that the scripture says of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what does the divine response say to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have now bowed to the knee to Baal. Not the need to bail. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. So let's stop here, and because there's a lot said within these six verses, and talk about it. Paul, having shown that the Jews, that they had rejected Christ, that's where the problem was. God hadn't rejected the Jews. It has been that the Jews have rejected Christ. Then God is going to reject them. That works the same way for us that are Gentiles. If we reject Christ, then God is going to reject us. Paul was letting it be known that he was both a Roman citizen and he was of the Israelites. Had God cast them off because they were Israelites, Paul would not have been a servant for God. So the Israelites, they rejected the long-expected Messiah, Jesus. That's why they were rejected, because they had been foretold of the coming of the Messiah. Now those that rejected Jesus, God rejects. So prior to the coming of Christ, Israel is where the people of God are, because they were descendants all the way back from Abraham. So Christ sent forth his apostles with worldwide commission, rendering for them for obedience to Jesus. Elijah charge the Israelites with crime against God. So let us turn to 1 Kings 10, verses 14. 1 Kings 19:10-14. So he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They have torn down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, tore down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. That goes all the way back to Elijah, how the Israelites were rejecting God and serving Baal. So Elijah, in this state of deep discouragement, after the foregoing events, felt no longer that they deserved God's name. They were just, as we know, 7,000 true, that was true to the worship of God. They worshiped Baal instead of Jehovah God. Verse 5, at that time Paul was writing, there was a remnant of Israel left that have accepted grace of God offering in Christ, that was a Jew, and were chosen of him. In Titus 2:11, it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation, it has appeared to all men. So the nation of Israel, God rejected. Why? Because of their disobedience to Christ. Now obedience precedes election. Why should I say now it precedes election? Under the old law, the Jews were selected as God's people before they were selected for obedience. But now we and all those must first have obedience to God's word for him then to accept it. It is of man's own free act. Those chosen by God's free act is prompt to have grace and obedience. This verse of scripture, all of us knows. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him, meaning Jesus, should not perish, but have everlasting life. If they were saved by grace in Christ, it was not by the works under the Jewish law. And basically, it's not by works under the New Testament. For merit, their obedience is not a way for obedience to heaven. You do not have merit because of works to reach heaven. Ephesians 2:8-10 explains this very clearly. It says, for grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, We to carry out his works and were created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God's love for us when he gave us his son. So our salvation does not come of works unless we could boast of it, but was given by God through our faith in that we accept and we walk in God's way. This was God's plan from the beginning of time. So salvation under Christ is grace. And then when we go into verse 17, we're going to notice something a little different when we go into verse 7. We're going to see 8 is going to begin, but what then? Verse 8 is going to go just as it is written. Verse 9, David says. Verse 11, I say then. Now if there. 13, for I speak. And each time he gives an answer to this beginning of each verse, which to me is very interesting. So let's read a few more verses and then we will talk about that. Verse 7 says, what then? Question. Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded, just as it is written. God has given them a spirit of stupor, or in other words, to be stupid, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear to this very day. And again, and David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see and bow down their back always. And again, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not, but though their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now if their fall is riches for the world and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my mystery. If by any means I have provoked to jealousy those who are my flesh, and save some of them. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? So that's an interesting reading, because each time it leads us in by a short quote to a statement. Verse 7, he says, what is the consolation from what has just been stated? That's what we're fixing to get. What then? From what we've just talked about in the previous verses. First, Israel, by works of the law, did not attain the righteousness which they sought. That's point number one. Point number two, now those by faith offered through Jesus Christ, they were accepted by God. That's point two. Point three, there are those with a hardened heart that they refuse to believe in Jesus Christ. Those were what was the answer to what then? It's one of them three points happened from the what then. And in Isaiah 29 verse 13, it says, therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. Meaning they were not obeying God's commandments. They were obeying commandments made by human beings. Paul shows that this blindness had been foretold by the prophets. And in doing this, they bring ruin upon themselves. And in verse 9, God says, let that which was for good become a snare to entrap, a stumbling block. To those that rebel against God, they things to bless them will become a curse and lead to more sin. In other words, those that decide they're going to rebel against God, and other, then it's going to become a curse and they're going to end up sinning more. They, the Jews, they willfully refused Jesus Christ, the long-promised Messiah. When men persistently refuse to do right, God's policy is to leave them. We know that from nowadays. We here at West End, we began Bible studies at 9 months old. And we have classes all the way up through high school for our young people who when they reach about 18. But we know from the day and past experience, a lot of times when they go off to their colleges and schools, they fall away. They marry someone then who's not a Christian and they fall more away. Then a few years later, you can try to talk and whatever, you end up with it. They have forgotten everything they were taught through those first 17 or 18 years of their life. It's like they never heard those things. And that's what happens as you gradually fall away and leave. You forget God's instructions. So here in verse 11, the Jews were forbidding association with the Gentiles for all through history since the beginning of Abraham. They were forbidden to be with the Gentiles. Even remember when the Samaritans returned, they wouldn't even have anything to do with those that were partial Jews, had partial Jewish blood. And there's much that could be said about this in verse 11, but I would like to be given look at the old law, something about it that all of us would know how the Gentiles also had some knowledge about God and the coming of him. Most all of us know the story of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how they were carried into captive, how they were to serve a king. And from a very early age, they know about them being put in the furnace, and they did not burn. You know, that had to go all through all the different tribes of the Gentiles and all over about how those people of God were not burned up in the furnace. They also taught of the knowledge of the true God to the kings. Cyrus, king of Persia, he gave orders to the Jews to return and to build Jerusalem. God put that in his heart to do this. And we know of that story of how they came back to rebuild Jerusalem and all that. Those Gentiles had to hear of knowable stories about the true God for him to do that. We also know the story, probably one of the most popular, the story of David, a little shepherd boy who had been keeping the shepherd, probably in his teens, a little old slender boy from way indications it give. He slung a rock and killed the large giant, probably the most known fighting man at that time anywhere. That story had to go everywhere. He slew Goliath. So the Gentiles now as the same as the Jews. So this would provoke many Jews to think, you know, in Johnny's words, no way is this law here. It is for us. It's not from these Gentiles. And that's what run, I believe, in a lot of their minds, and they were so jealous that they did not accept Jesus as the Messiah. In verse 12, now if there, the dispersion of the Jews among the Gentiles at this time period helped in the spread of Christianity when Christ came. In Acts 2 and 5, he says, there were Jews at Jerusalem from every nation under heaven. When returned to their respective homes, the message spread among the nations. In other words, at that time, during the being taken of captivities, them under the Roman rule, that there were Jews that were scattered pretty well throughout the known world. We also know that in the early part of Acts, how Christians was also scattered because of Saul and others that were persecuting them. So thus that spread out allowed the word to be taught. So a question we may ask, if the Jews had been true to God, this is a very unusual question, but it has been in my mind in the past. If the Jews had been true to God, would we, Gentiles, be in a worse condition than they were by the sins of the Jews? In other words, if the Jews had been faithful under the old law and the faith of, would we be in a worse condition because of that? And the answer is no. God sees the end from a beginning, and he blesses those, whether you are Jew or Gentile, who is willing to receive the blessings underneath his conditions. So I think here all can recognize in enjoying God's favor, and that favor is in Christ Jesus. If they will come as sinners, I mean, you got to admit that you are a sinner to understand and to trust in God for salvation. And in verse 13, it says, "For I speak." That's an opening up of that sentence. "For I speak unto the known much has been said to the Jews." Now he is speaking to the Gentiles. He's changing. He's talking straight at the Gentiles. Paul, first, he glorifies his work. He's glorifying in being able, as a Jew, to be able to teach these Gentiles. He did this by showing that the conversion of the Gentiles had been foretold in the prophecy, and what a wonderful influence it would have on the world. Now you not just got one chosen race of people, everyone has an opportunity to be a child of God. Paul's untiring zeal and his energy to convert as many Gentiles as possible in doing this. He would stir up Jews when he speaks by my flesh. Why? That he may save them also. We know from 1 Corinthians 9:22, and this is a very important thing for us to remember when we are teaching. 1 Corinthians 9:22, it says, "To the weak, I became as weak, that I might win the weak. And I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." That tells us that when we are intending on having lessons and to teach, we need to at least know something about the person that we're trying to teach. Try to get into the level. And that's what Paul done always in his teaching. With this verse, we can realize the work of those who turn sinners from the error of the way. That's what it takes to have something that you can be in common, then where you can teach them of the error of the way. Think, as then, it is as now. They were dead to God and in a condemnation. Why? By rejecting God. If they are tough and return to God, he will give them eternal life with God. In other words, we have to decide in turn. He gives us that choice. And we have to turn and go to God in order to save our life for an eternal life with God. We're going to begin now with verse 16 and read through the end of our study this morning. Verse 16, for if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty by fear. So as we begin our study here, I think it's important for us to turn to Leviticus 23, and begin with verse 10 and read through verse 14, Leviticus 23. This is, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap in harvest, then you shall bring a shaft of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the shaft before the Lord and be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the seventh, the priest shall wave it, and you shall offer on that day, when you wave the shaft, a male lamb of the first year without blemish, as burnt offering to the Lord. Its grain offering shall be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made by fire to the Lord for a sweet aroma, and its drink offering shall be of wine, 1/4 of a hin. You shall eat neither bread nor marched grain nor fresh grain until the same day that you have brought an offering to your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all our dwellings. So this is something to outline us as we get into what we're fixing to talk about, because probably while I was reading this, you thought, where in the world is this going? And it's simple once we think about it. So the grain was unclean to be eaten by the people until when? Till the first fruits of it has been offered to the Lord. So as the first fruits of the gospel, it was from the Jews. On the first Pentecost, after the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, they were then taken and accepted of God. So will all Israel be accepted. Why? If they turn to God, they would be the very first fruits of it. They will now be accepted if they accept Jesus and become obedient unto their faith. So the root here is holy. This is reference to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whom God chose the Jewish race. In John 20:17, it tells us Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. So Jesus' mother was an offspring of David. I know our David has just had a lesson on angels. I'm not sure if he read this verse of scripture in his study of angels, but this is another verse that speaks of angels. Revelation 22, verse 16, it says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Sort of thing to remember. So if David, he would also be of Abraham. So Jesus was the offspring of Abraham through his mother. He also is also before time existed. Things, and in him all things consist. He was even way before Abraham, even though he's also an offspring of Abraham through his mother. Very confusing. He's the only person I know of like that. So anyway, he was here at the beginning, but he's also a descendant from Abraham and down through David. In Colossians 1 and 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. So as the root was acceptable to God, the root was acceptable to God, so also the branches, if they believe and obey in Jesus. Let's now consider a lot of, as we get into 17, we could get into thinking of a lot of what ifs in this verse of scripture. But we're going to stick straight to the point. The root is not a part of the figure, which is to represent as to giving off the type of fruit. That's not what in root here. The root is the symbol of the life. The character of the branch attained through faith, or also from the lack of faith, that would determine the quality of the fruit that it bears. And this quality would determine whether or not the branches shall be cut off and die or be grafted in and stand. The parable and all is teaching and implications in perfect accord with the facts and processes of nature. So if we get it into where we think of nature, I have a peach tree. It was grafted. At one side gives off one type of peach, and the other side gives off another type of peach, if my squirrels don't get them before they mature. But anyway, it gives off two different types of peaches. I like both kinds. But through the grafting, they both are beneficial, and they live from the root, which is Jesus. That's the same thing. Whether you, now, what it's saying, you got a Jew on one side that's grafted in, and you got a Gentile on the other side is grafted in. And as long as they both are producing the type of fruit, even though it would be different, they are productive and safe. But when they go to not producing, they die, they cut away, and they're gone. That's simple facts of nature that we can understand in the grafting of trees that is done through history. So we as Christians are all grafted to Jesus the Lord, which is our root. I hope that is clear. That's as clear as I know how to put it. And in verse 18, it tells us our whole duty is to learn what God tells us to do, and in him do it in the way he directs. And we also have to be careful how we go to the Father and leave the results with God. I know all of you like I have. I've heard people say and brag about how many people I have baptized. If I read scripture right, he doesn't send us to baptize. He sends us to teach. And I know I have baptized a number of people or helped, but I don't have a clue how many from the teaching that I've done that have been baptized. I've always used it this way. Let's be careful about using that one little letter I word. Because when we do the teaching that we do, the success is God's success. It's not Johnny Montgomery. It's not the elders. It's not Brother Mike Thomas who's sitting over here. It's God's success when we teach God's word and someone obeys. If we fail when we refuse to let God's work do it through us. So the scheme of redemption has its foundation in the Jewish nation. And that's the reason I'm saying that now, because Abraham was the spiritual father of all the faithful. Something for us to think about here, how the scheme all come from the Jewish nation. Abraham was the first one all the way through his. All of the apostles and the first teachers of the gospel of Christ were who? They were Jews. Definitely all the apostles and those that done the very first teaching were Jews. Think about all of the books of Scripture, both old and new. Old and new, they were written by the Jews. Think of that's something I hadn't really thought a whole lot about until preparing this lesson. But they are. They're all. Hebrews, we don't know exactly who wrote it, but I'm almost guarantee you it's a Jew from studying it. So anyway, all of them are written through the Jewish descendants. Verse number 19. This is a warning against boasting. You know, sometimes we have to be careful with our pride. And those Jews now were used to be the chosen ones. Now Gentiles don't need to say, hey, look, y'all goofed it all up. Now am we the chosen ones. And having pride in that they're doing. That's what he's talking to the Gentiles now. Don't rub it in because they haven't nothing ready to rub in. It's right now we all on equal standards. It's left up to you to whether or not you obey God's will, whether you are a Jew or a Gentile. The Jews was their disbelief in Christ was the reason they were rejected. If you are a Gentile and you have that disbelief in Christ that you don't obey, you're going to also be rejected. So the only ground of acceptance of the Gentiles also was their faith in acceptance and obedience to God. Be not high-minded. That's something we have to watch out. And we have to watch out, I think, for the little I word. We also always need to give God the glory. And I thank you for listening to me this evening and look forward to beginning with verse 21 for our Sunday morning study. Thank you very much.